Today, Shiz Masechta Bei, Daf Yudal, we will begin on Daf Yudal Raman Aleph at the Mishnah, the Tapir Amid. As we discussed in our previous shir, the Tarek Doisha says, Acha Shiyochel Chal Nefesh Hu Levadoi Yosu Lechem. And that is the Pasuk that teaches us that in Yontif, we may do Melachis that involve Oichel Nefesh. However, even though there are Melachis that may be done on Yontif, because of Oichel Nefesh, certainly if the Melach is being done to prepare food that we're going to eat on Yontif, such a Melach may be done. However, as we're going to learn in our Shir, not all Melachis may be done. And the Mishnah speaks about the Melachis of grinding salt, grinding spices. When is the Melach that such Melach may be done, and when is the halacha, such a halacha may not be done. The teaches us the Mishnah B'Shama Omrim, Tavon Nidochim B'Modach Shalites. Spices could be ground with a wood grinder, which is, of course, not the normal type of grinder. V'Melach, salt, could be ground B'Pach with an earthenware flask, or B'Eitz HaParor, or with a wooden mixing spoon. In other words, says the Miri, this is a mixing spoon that normally is not what's used for grinding. Here, that's what you should use for grinding salt. Beis Hillel's opinion is tavlin nedarken kedarken. Spices could be pounded in their regular manner. V'madoch shel oven with a stone pestle. V'melech salt, we should make some sort of a shinui, and salt should be done with a madoch shel eitz, with a wooden grinder. Not do it in the regular fashion. Instead of using the stone grinder, you should use one made out of wood. So Pnei Yeshua asks, why did Beis Hillel say that we could grind spices in a normal fashion? The issue involved in grinding spices is the melacha of teichin. And teichinah is also on Yontif, because the Pnei Yeshua quotes Tosfos and many other Rishonim, whose opinion is that even though, as we said at the beginning of our shiur today, that Melachos are mutter for Oichel Nefesh on Yontif, but the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, when it lists the various Melachos in Parakira, Tosfos says, it begins with the whole list, Zeriah, Harisha, etc., and only from the Melach of Lishan on, says Tosfos, is the halacha that such melachas may be done on Yontif for Oichel Nefesh. But here we're speaking about the melacha of Tchina, and the melacha of Tchina is in that list before the melacha of Lisha. So if it's there before the melacha of Lisha, how can we do Tchina in a regular fashion, even if we're doing spices? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that when we say Oichel Nefesh, that those melachos are also on Yontif, even if we're doing them for Echel Nefesh, that's only melachos when they're done to keep what you're doing to have a long-lasting effect. But, as we're going to be learning in our shir, grinding spices, in those days they didn't grind spices, they did just the small amount of spices that they needed to use immediately. There, the halacha is that even though it's a melacha that's listed in the Mishnah before the melacha of Lisha, even that melacha may be done l'tzayrich Oichel Nefesh. Another teretz that the Micha Shloima, Rav Shlomo Zalman, gives, and this is a concept that we're going to be discussing because we're going to be discussing in Mitzvah Hashem, the melacha Boirer. And in Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha differentiates between a melacha that's done for immediate use, Boirer, we're going to be discussing Boirer, and the halacha differentiates Boirer that you do for immediate use versus Boirer that you're going to do not for right now. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that when we speak in our Mishnah about the melacha of grinding, he says we speak about it in the context that we're going to use those spices immediately. And since we're going to use the spices immediately, that's why we could be lenient and there's no iser, even though it's listed in the Mishnah before the melacha of Teichin, a melacha of Lisha. So we said that the spices could be ground, but a modach shel oven. So as the tzlach, the Mishnah used the words, the modach could travel in the dark and could darken the modach shel oven. So why isn't that a redundancy? If we're learning that we could grind them, kedarkam, in the normal fashion, so obviously if modach shel oven is the way that the ground, it doesn't have to be said. All the Mishnah should have said is kedarkam. So the tzlach answers that we're going to learn in the Gemara that under certain circumstances, Chazal thought that we should make some sort of a minor shinui, some sort of a minor differentiation. Teaches us the Mishnah that Beis Hillel, when he says you could grind spices, he doesn't require anything, any type of deviation. Another pshat that the tzlach suggests, he says what the Mishnah is trying to do is help us understand, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, why there's a difference between salt and spices. And salt, since you could grind for before and it lasts, you have no right to do it in normal fashion. Because spices don't last for a long time, that's why you could do it right away on Yontif. And he says that's what the Mishnah meant to say when it says Duchen Kedarkon. The Mishnah is trying to allude to why may they be Niduchen Kedarkon, because that's what is normal. Anything else will be difficult. Melech, on the other hand, according to Beis Hillel, we should make some sort of a shinui, some sort of a differentiation. And as Rashi explains, Beis Hillel only requires a minor differentiation. And therefore, since during the week they use a stone grinder, on Shabbos we'll use a wood grinder. However, says the Meiri, that this heter is only when we have salt that's clumped together. And the salt that's clumped together is not usable in the way it is. So that's where the Mishnah gives us a heter, albeit only when you use a wood grinder. But if the salt can be used for whatever purpose I need the salt without grinding, says the Meiri, we should not do any grinding if possible. Furthermore, says Tosfos, that the salt that we're talking about is salt that comes from the sea. And it starts off as clumps, and now we have to grind it. That's where we speak about the grinding. But salt that is man-made and really never starts off as clumps, and for whatever reason it clumped together, and now we need to grind it, on that salt, says Tosfos, there's no issur of grinding on Yom Tov, and you can grind it in the normal fashion. And this halacha actually is negei l'halacha l'maisa, because we know that Pesach and the night we eat, we have charoises at the Seder. And of course, the proper way of doing it is to prepare the charoises before Yontif. But what happened if somebody forgot to prepare the charoises before Yontif? So now the question will come up, the different ingredients of the charoises, may they be ground on Yontif? And it'll depend. If it's going to be a food that will get, that is going to not be as good if it was ground before, so as we're learning now, such food may be ground on Yontif. That's the halach of the spices. If there would have been no issue in grinding them before Yontif, so we should grind those ingredients with a shinui. So as we just learned in the Machloikus, in our Mishnah, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, regarding grinding spices on Yontif, do we have to make a shinui or do we not have to make a shinui? That was by the spices. But when it came to salt, says the Gemara, the Kol Amos Mias, when it came to discussing the salt, as we just mentioned, everybody agreed that Melech by Shinui, that when we grind the salt, we have to make a Shinui. And asked the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason there's a difference between salt and tavlin? Why by salt are we Machmer? And as the Ran explains the Mishnah, he says, at first glance, since we're learning that Oichel Nefesh is mutter on Yontif, and salt is certainly an ingredient that's Oichel Nefesh, it should be mutter to grind it on Yontif. Why did the Mishnah, everybody now agree that we should not grind it in a normal fashion? Says the Gemara of Chizda, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda. Each one of them offered a different explanation. Charama, shekolak deres kulon tzrichas melech. Ven kolak deres tzrichas tavon. Any dish that you prepare is going to require salt. And since you knew from before Yontif that you're going to certainly need salt on Yontif, you should have ground that salt before Yontif. And if you didn't grind the salt before Yontif, Chazal only allow you to grind the salt on Yontif with a shinui. The question is that the Paiskim discuss, so that's why, since you knew before Yontif, you should have ground it before Yontif. If you didn't grind it on before Yontif, grind it on Yontif with a shinui. So it's interesting, Machlokes of Paiskim, are you allowed to lechatchila wait to grind the salt on Yontif with a shinui? I know it's going to have to be done by shinui, but I'll do it with a shinui. Or is it better to do it from Erev Yontif? The Magen Avraham says that lechatchila one could wait to grind the salt on Yontif, knowing that he'll do it with a shinui. The other Achronim say that this that we said, that you could grind salt on Yontif with a shinui, is only b'dievet. Certainly salt, under all circumstances, should be ground before Yontif. The Charama, another explanation. The other Mandom explained what's the difference between salt and spices. Kol tavlim figen tamen. Spices dissipate. And therefore, if you're going to grind them too early, they're not going to have their potency, the good taste on Yontif. Melech eim figen tamen. Therefore, nothing will happen to the salt. And since that nothing's going to happen to the salt, as Rashi explains, you should do it before Yontif. And the Rambam says that this is a gzeir of Chazal, because Chazal didn't want, and this is the Rambam in Hilchos Yontif, Perak Aleph Halacha Hey, Shema Yiniach Odom Melachos She'efshal Asos Me'er of Yontif. A person will ignore doing melachos that he could do from Erev Yontif, wait to do them on Yontif, nimtza Yontif kulay hoylich basiyas oysa melachos. And he'll end up, he'll spend the entire day Yontif doing melacha. V'yimna mesimchas Yontif, and he'll end up not doing any, and not enjoying the Yontif. V'lo yele p'nai lechol, he'll be busy on Yontif doing all sorts of activities instead of doing what Yontif was meant to do. Ask the Gemara. So we gave two explanations in differentiating between salt and spices. Ask the Gemara, my benai, what is the practical nafkamina? Answers the Gemara, ikvenai, the yoda, my kder boilev shule. If somebody knows what he's going to be cooking on Yontif, so then he can't say, well, I didn't know what spice to prepare, because he knew what he's going to be using on spices. And accordingly, if the reason is salt, you know you're going to need, spice, you don't. This, you do know that you're going to need, and since you knew you're going to need it, you should have grounded before Yontif. Inama b'marika. Marika is karkum, and that's a type of a spice that doesn't dissipate. Saffron, it doesn't dissipate with time. So here, you can't say, well, I waited for Yontif, because before Yontif, if I would have grounded by Yontif, it would lose its taste. Here, there's now concern that it's going to lose its taste. Another pshat that the Ravid suggests is that saffron, karkum, was a type of spice that they had in those days that was extremely commonly used. And since it was used all the time, it's like salt, where you can't say, well, I didn't know I'm going to need to use it on Yontif. Since it's certainly going to be needed to be used on Yontif, you should have ground it before Yontif. The Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yemri v'Rami b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Hashum, Galika, Shechlayim, Chardel, Mustard, Nedochim, Kedarkim. And Tosfos explains, why may they be ground on Yontif? Because since if you're going to grind them before Yontif, there's going to be, they're not going to have the same taste. And moreover, says Tosfos, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to leave garlic overnight. So we're going to leave unpeeled garlic overnight, because I ground it before Yontif, I wouldn't be able to use that garlic on Yontif. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah therefore says that not only are we allowed to grind garlic and onion from before Yontif, but even in a case like we just discussed, where we know for sure that we're going to be using the onion or the garlic on Yontif, since they're going to lose their sharpness, we're allowed to lechatchil wait to grind them from Yontif. The Shulchan Aruch says that dochnas adavon kedarken, like we just learned, that spices may be ground before Yontif, not salt. But Ramah says, he says that when we grind tavlin, even though we just learned in the Gemara, there should be no issue in grinding tavlin. This is in Siman Tov Kof Dalet Sif Aleph. The Ramah says we should make some sort of a shini, the Kain Roy Lahiris. And that's the proper thing to do. Says the Mishnah Berurah that, as we learned, that the issue of grinding salt is only by sea salt. The regular salt doesn't have the issue. However, because of Marisayan, when somebody sees me grinding salt, he doesn't know what type of salt I'm grinding. So all salt should be ground with a shinui. Another point that the Rav Shlomo Zalman makes in the Silchan Shloima, since the salt that we have that nowadays, the way the process of using that, of making that salt, is that they grind it in part of processing it. So now we have a concept of ein toichen ache toichen. Something that was ground once, there is no tchina when you grind it the second time, and therefore you may grind it on Yontif without a problem, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, kol ha nedoichen nedoichen kedarkon. He said that everything can be ground in a normal fashion, the filo melech, even salt. Asked the Gemara, how could he issue such a ruling? For Amit melech by shinui. We just learned that everybody agrees that when grinding salt, it has to be done with a shinui. Answers the Gemara, hu damakai tana. He follows this opinion. The Tanya Amar Meila nechle by shan veselo al nedoichon on spices, shenedoichon kedarka, that all spices may be ground in a normal fashion. V'melech imon, and salt may be ground together with them. That means the way Rashi explains, that even though we're learning that salt should not be ground in the normal fashion, but if I'm grinding salt together with spices, then I'm allowed to grind salt even on Shabbat, on Yontif, in the normal fashion. Because, explains the Tzlach, when I'm grinding the salt together with spices, it's obvious that my point is to prepare it for the meal that I'm going to be eating today. And I'm not doing it just because I want to grind the salt and store it, and therefore, it's mutter. Another pshat that the Marshal wants to suggest, that the definition of melech imam, that you could grind the salt one time after another. That means, as we just said, grinding the salt the first time is asur, the second time is mutter. Loinechleku, says the Gemara, where do we have a machlokes according to this opinion? Where do we have the machlokes b'sham b'esilu? El adoich b'fnei atzmai. May we grind salt by itself? B'sham ha'imrim. B'sham's opinion is melech could only be done with a shinui, b'pach, in a small earthenware cup, b'etz ha'parah with wood, and we should only do a small amount, l'tzli. When you salt meat, there's a difference what you're going to do with the meat. If you're going to cook the meat or roast the meat, and you're going to roast the meat, you don't need a lot of salt. Avel michik deira. If you're going to salt it because you want to extract the blood because you want to cook the meat, then you need to use much salt, and that type amount of salt should not be ground on Yontif. Veisil I'm bechal dover. Ask the Gemara bechal dover. Doesn't mean that bechal dover. Does that mean, as Rashi says, the bechal dover seems to teach that even something that is muksa, may we use muksa? Can we move muksa on Yontif? El'eimel l'chol davar. You could, no matter what the purpose of grinding the salt, as long as you're doing it in a permissible fashion, you could grind salt normally on Shabbos. So here we have an opinion that says clearly that salt could be ground in a normal fashion, and that's the opinion that Rav Yehuda Mishmul is following. Amalei of Achabardala Lebrei. Kidaichis, when you ground salt, atzli etzluy v'doich, move it to the side. You should make some sort of a shinui. Says the Gemara of Sheish Shama Kabuchna, he heard them grinding salt in the normal fashion with a stone grinder. I'm a high lav migavei debay sehavi. This is certainly not coming out of my home, because I instructed the people in my home to do the grinding of the salt with some sort of shinui. Ask the Gemara. But them atzluyet zluyet. Maybe they tilted it to the side, and that was the shinui. Says the Gemara, the shamei da have a kalal tzilei. He heard that the sound of the noise of the grinding was extremely clear, and if it would have been done on a slant, you wouldn't have gotten such a clear sound. And the Mechash Shleim explains that throughout Shas, Rav Sheshes, we know was blind. And a person who unfortunately can't see, we know has a sharper sense of hearing. And that's why his hearing was so sensitive and he was able to clearly hear that it wasn't ground the right way. V'dilma tavlan hava, but says the Gemara, maybe even though he recognized they were grinding in the normal fashion, but maybe they were grinding spices. And we've been learning that spices may be ground in the normal fashion. Answers the Gemara, tavlan nevuchim nabakalai. The sound of spice grinding is very different than the sound of grinding salt. And therefore, by spices, he knew that certainly it wasn't spices. And from here we see that when it comes to spices, most spices can be ground in the normal fashion. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Oisim Tisni. They used to take grain, wheat, and they used to chop it into four. And the halach is, Ein Oisim Tisni, that we now take each grain and chop it into four. And the reason is, it involves a great amount of tircha, and in yontif, a tircha meruba is also. Similarly, in kochim b'machteshes, one may not grind it in a regular grinder in yontif. Again, with the same concern for tircha. Ask the Gemara, Tarti, these two halachas seem not to be connected. Not only do they seem not to be collected, but they seem to be contradictory. The first halacha is that we're not allowed to make tisni. And the reason is because it involves a tircha meruba, and a tircha meruba may not be done on yontif. Grinding them on a normal not with a tircha meruba, would be mutter. But then we learned that we're not allowed to use a machteshes at all. That means even and for any form, we're not allowed to use a machteshes. So how do we understand these two halachas? Says the Gemara, come, this is what the Brice Mentor taught us. Teach us, Ma tam ein oisim tisni. What's the reason that we're not allowed to make tisni? If ish ein kochim machteshes, we're not allowed to use a grinder on yontif. And as the Rosh Yosef explains, since we could have ground this wheat from before yontif, we have no right to grind it on yontif. Says the Gemara, if that's what the point is, especially the way we just learned, the grinding should not take place on yontif, since it could have been done before yontif. So the Braisa should just told us, v'leimei in kochim machteshes, that we're not allowed to grind on yontif. Answers the Gemara, itane in kochim machteshes. If the Braisa would have just said, in kochim machteshes, havamina, we would have thought, hanimila v'machteshes g'doyla. That's with a big grinder. That's something that involves a lot of tircha, and that may not be done in yontif. However, the machteshes ktana, a small machteshes, maybe a mishapadami, may be used on yontif. It doesn't involve such a big tircha. Kamash Malon, that's what the Brice is teaching us, that we're not allowed to use a machteshes under any circumstances. But ask the Gemara, is that true? For Tanya, there's a Brice that says, "Ein kochim machteshes, you're not allowed to use a big grinder on yontif. Avol kochim machteshes ketana, a small grinder may be used on yontif." So how are we saying that all grinders are prohibited? Amr Abaya. So Abaya says, indeed, kitanya namim masnisen. The Brice that we began is only speaking about machteshes gedoyli tanina, only a large grinder. And the way Rashi explains, now we need to understand as follows. The Brice is teaching us two separate halachas. First, the Brice is teaching us Ein Oisim Tisni. Tisni may never be made, whether you're using Machteshes Gedoyla or whether you're using Machteshes Ketana. Because making Tisni involves a Tircha Meruba, and a Tircha Meruba may not be done on Yontif. Then the Brice tells us another halacha, that even different foods that may be ground, when they're allowed to be ground, you may not use a machteshes gedoyla, we only can use a machteshes ketana. But
the Mashah asks that Abai, first the Gemara said that you're not allowed to use any type of machtashes, both a machtashes gedoyla and then a machtashes machtana. And then the Gemara changed and says we're only talking about a machtashes gedoyla. So shouldn't the Gemara have used the words Ella Amar Abaya when it's reverting itself? Why doesn't the Gemara use the word Ella? So the Rishash says that the only time the Gemara uses the word Ella is if originally there was the name of an Amoira's name was used, and now he's reversing himself. Originally, there was no Amoira's name used. And since there was no Amoira's name used, even though the Gemara is reversing itself, we don't use the word Ella. So Mechteshes Gedoyla Tanya, only a Mechteshes Gedoyla may not be used, but Mechteshes Ketana may be used. Rav Amma, Rav says differently. He says that the first braisa that says the Mechteshes may not be used means both a Mechteshes Gedoyla and a Mechteshes Ketana. Then we had a second braisa that says that a Mechteshes Ketana may be used, answers the Gemara like Kasha. Halon, Falahu. There's a difference. So Rashi explains, Lon refers to the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And the people in Eretz Yisrael who had servants and weren't careful with halacha and would use a large grinder, but say they were using a small grinder, that's why Chazal said we can't allow you to use any type of grinder. But the people who lived in Bavel didn't have servants. So everybody worked for themselves. And of course the people were observant. And since the people were observant, they were careful only to use a Mechteshes Ketana, not a Mechteshes Gedoyla. The Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is that in Eretz Yisrael, the quality of the grain was superior. And since the quality of the grain in Eretz Yisrael was superior, there was no reason to grind on Yontif. You could grind the wheat from before Yontif and nothing will happen. Whereas in Bavel, the quality of the grain was inferior. And if you're going to grind it before Yontif, it won't be good on Yontif. Another approach, which is the approach of the Rajba and the Ravid, in Bavel, they very often ate different foods like oatmeal and farina that were made with wheat. And therefore, they always used a Mechteshes Gedoyla. So if in Yontif, instead of using Mechteshes Gedoyla, you're going to use a Mechteshes Ketana, that represents a Shinui. But in Eretz Yisrael, the diet that they had did not include foods that were wheat-based. So they always used the Mechteshes Ketana. And on Yontif, we want to have a Shinui. And a Mechteshes Ketana in Eretz Yisrael is not a Shinui because they always used the Mechteshes Ketana in Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat very similar. In Eretz Yisrael, it was easier to grind the wheat. So since it's easier to grind the wheat, a Mechteshes Ketana is good enough. And therefore, using Mechteshes Ketana on Shabbos, on Yontif, is not a Shinui. And that's a stroll where the wheat wasn't so good, and therefore they needed a Mechteshes Gedoyla, otherwise they couldn't get the wheat ground. A Mechteshes Ketana is a Shinui. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says, in Aruch Chaim, Siman Tuf Kuf Dalet Sif Gat and Gimel, we really don't know what is a Mechteshes Gedoyla and what is a Mechteshes Ketana, and therefore we shouldn't use any type of Mechteshes on Yontif. However, says the Rama, on Pesach we're allowed to grind matzah. He says, because as we mentioned earlier in our shir, the halacha is ein tchina achet tchina. Grinding something which was already ground is not considered tchina. And matzahs, as preparing the matzahs, we have to grind the flour. So if somebody has matzahs and they want to grain it, and they want to grind the matzah on Yontif, then the halacha is that it's mutter to grind the matzah on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Papa ikla lebei mar Shmuel. Rapapi once came to the home of Mar Shmuel, Isle Daisa. They brought him Daisa to eat v'loy ochel. And because he was concerned that they did it in the Mechteshes in the improper way, says the Gemara, v'dem Mechteshes Ketana avdo. Maybe they used the Mechteshes Ketana. The way we're learning now, a Mechteshes Ketana in Bavel is permissible, says the Gemara. the reason he didn't eat them, because the Chazi Davidai Tefei, he saw that they were very well ground. And if they were very well ground, it's an indication that it was ground in a Mechteshes Ketoyla. But ask the Gemara, the fact that it was ground well doesn't mean that it wasn't done, that it was done on Yontif. Maybe it was ground from before Yontif. And obviously before Yontif, you're allowed to use a Mechteshes Ketoyla. Answers the Gemara, the Chazi Davakal of Tzari, he saw that it was glowing, and that's an indication that it was peeled and ground today. Vibay Seima, another reason why he was being so machmer, Kushani Bei Mashmul, he knew in the home of Mashmul, Deke Pritzusa Davdi, that the servants in his in Shmuel's home were not careful, and therefore Shmuel, he was particularly concerned. So of course the question all the Rishonim asks is, if that's the case, so how did Mashmul eat from those grind or eat from that wheat? So the Rishonim say, from here we see there's a rule, Eid Echad Nem Bisurim. And if somebody tells you that they did it right, we don't have to ask question. Rav Papi wanted to be Machmer, but the Rav Shmuel says, Eid Echad Nem Bisurim, and therefore we could be Mekel. I, of course, asked the Shita Mekubetzes, how did Mashmul allow himself to have avodim who are pritzi? So the Shita answers, it's the Shmuel knew that even though avodim in those days were pritzim, his avodim he knew that were acting appropriately. Just like we find that the Gemara says, the Gamliel said about Tevi, his servant, that I know my servant acts in the proper way. So our Gemara is a very important question. Our Gemara is discussing, if you come to somebody's home, can I eat in that home, or do I have to be concerned that maybe these people aren't that so observant, and I can't, and maybe they're not following Hilchos Kashrus properly? And from here we see that Rav Papi was machmer, and he didn't eat in Shmuel's home, even though it obviously disturbed Mashmul. However, the Ritva says that that's not the way to understand the Gemara. He says the way to understand the Gemara is Rav Papi was being machmer, and the Ritva says not only was Rav Papi being machmer, he knew the Mashmul would not be upset by him being machmer. And that's why he felt comfortable. But in a situation where he knew that if he would have known that Mashmul would be offended by his refusal to eat, he should eat. And that's why the Cheshuke Chemet has here a discussion that if somebody's coming to someone's home, he's coming to his parents' home, and he maybe has different chumras and foods that he does eat or doesn't eat, as long as he knows that the food that's being served is kosher, he should eat. And in fact, he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, who said that even if this person doesn't eat certain foods, because he has a chumra not to eat those foods, he says you can be machmer at home. But when you're coming to other people's home and they're going to be offended, if the food is kosher, you should eat it. And he even quotes a very interesting and famous story with the Sar Shalom from Belz, the first Belz Rebbe, 1 year at the Seder. He was sitting at the Seder next to his mother, and his mother put the matzah into the soup. And by Chassidim, that's Gebrocks, and Chassidim are very concerned about Gebrocks, and he ate from the same bowl as his mother to show, if it's kosher, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to show Kibbut Eim is more important than anything else. Says the Mishnah, we know that Bayrur is one of the malachas on Shabbos. And bayur means that you're separating the food from the waste. And now our Mishnah is going to discuss under what circumstances we could do bayur on Yontif. On Shabbos, there are three conditions when you could do bayur. One is that you have to take the oichel from the psoilus, the food away from the waste. You only have to do it biyad. You only have to use a your hand, not a keli, and you're only allowed to do this type of bayur to eat the food immediately. Says the Mishnah, Bayru Kitnis B'Yontif, if somebody does Bayru on Yontif, you could do Bayru if you're going to eat it right away. And Rav Moshe says, what is the definition of La'altar? He says, the amount of time that somebody's preparing a meal. That means it doesn't have to be that I do the Bayru immediately before I eat it. If I'm already starting to set the table and prepare the food for the next meal, that's already considered La'altar. Beis Hillel's opinion is Bayru Kedarkoi. You could do Bayru as you do it in the normal fashion. That means you can even take out the psoilus from the oichel. And furthermore, Beis Hillel holds, when you could do Bayru on Yontif, you could do it b'cheikoi in his lap, b'kanon with a funnel, b'tamchoi with a large plate. You could do Bayru in a normal fashion, avaloi b'tavlo. But even Beis Hillel agrees that you shouldn't use a board. V'loi b'naf is a fine filter. V'loi b'bara is a coarse sieve. Because these are the type of kalim that were used for being Bayru for long term. When Beis Hillel is allowing us to do Bayru on Yontif, it's because of Oichel Nefesh, food that I want to eat on Yontif, not to do Bayru for food that I don't need to eat for food that I'm not going to eat on Yontif. Rav Gamliel Oimer Af Mediach, you could put the beans into water, v'shoyla, and take off the waste that flows on the top of the water. So the Rosh Yosef explains the machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He says that Beis Shammai's opinion is that even on Yontif, Bayru is a melacha that's asur. And therefore, just like on Shabbos we discussed, if you want to do Bayru, you have to do it in the permissible fashion. Yontif is the same. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds that because of Simchas Yontif, you could do Bayru in the normal fashion. The only reason Beis Hillel said that these different types of Bayru that he mentioned in our Mishnah may not be done on Yontif, because as the Gezeres Chazal, the people are thinking that you're doing it for storage purposes. Another pshat that the Rashba suggests is that the Rashba says that even Beis Hillel is not so quick to be lenient with Bayru. And what Beis Hillel is, all the types of Bayru that are being mentioned in the Mishnah that Beis Hillel allows represent a Bayru b'shinui. But Beis Shammai holds that isn't enough of a shinui. And the Dafka Mina will be that according to Beis Hillel, says the Taz, also when we're doing Bayru on Yontif, we should do it only la'altar, for meal that's going to be eaten right away. But something that's going to be done even on Yontif, but it's not for the next meal, or as we said earlier in the shiur, not for a meal that I'm already starting to prepare for, the halacha is I may not do Bayru under those circumstances. Says the Gemara. So our Mishnah said, the Beis Hillel said that you could do Bayru Kedarkoi B'chol, that you could do Bayru on Yontif in normal fashion. Tanya, says the Gemara, Amar Gamliel, the Medvar Amurim, that when did Beis Hillel allow us to remove the psoilus in doing Bayru on Yontif? Kshoichel merubah ala psoilus, when there's more oichel than psoilus. Av psoilus merubah ala oichel, but if there's more psoilus than oichel, divrei hakel, even Beis Hillel will agree that we may not remove the psoilus. Noitel sa oichel, umenich sa psoilus, only could take the oichel. Says the Gemara, psoilus mover oichel, if there's more psoilus than oichel, mi command the shari, will anybody allow you to do anything with that food? Since you have more psoilus than oichel, so then this food is considered psoilus. If this food is considered psoilus, food that's psoilus is muksa. So how could you touch that food under any circumstances? Answers the Gemara Loi Tzricha. The Braisa is referring that the Nafesh Petircha, removing the psoilus, is more complicated than taking out the oichel. It's the psoilus is very difficult to handle. The Zuta Bishurei, but in terms of quantity, it's less than the oichel. So therefore, since it's less than the oichel, the oichel is more than the psoilus, so it's not muksa. But it's not easy to get out the psoilus, so that's why you have to take out you're allowed to take out the oichel. And that's what halacha is, you're allowed to take out the oichel. The halacha is, if somebody wants, so we're learning now, if somebody wants to eat beans, he could take out the pebbles or the waste that's mixed together with the beans. Not a question, of course, is that how can you take out those pebbles? Aren't those pebbles muksa? So the Ritva explains that since there's more food than waste in the mixture, we use the concept of bittel b'roiv, and even the waste is considered like food. And therefore, the entire mixture and anything in the mixture is not considered muksa. However, if the food is not the majority, as we just learned, then the entire mixture is considered muksa. Rabbi Kivega has a different approach. Rabbi Kivega says, the Beis Hillel says that we're allowed to take the waste, even if it's muksa. Because just like we're learning that Beis Hillel's opinion is that because of Eichel Nefesh, because of Simchas Yontif, we're lenient. Included in that leniency, explains Rabbi Kivega, is included that you're allowed to touch the pebbles, which are muksa. And explains the Shoshanas Yaakov. Why didn't Rabbi Kivega agree with Ritva? He says, the fact that you have more food than muksa only allows us to touch the entire mixture. But the question that we were discussing, the question that Ritva was discussing, was touching the pebbles by themselves. That when you're touching the pebbles by themselves, you're touching something which is muksa. And since you're touching something which is muksa, you may not do that on Yontif. We learned in the Mishnah, Gamaliel Omer, Af Mediach V'Shoylo. You could soak the beans and let the chaff flow to the top. Tanya Omer B'Lozer B'Rabbi Tzadok, Kach Hoyim Min Hogan Shabeser Gamaliel, Hoyim Mevim Deli Mole Adashim. They brought a pail full of beans. Metzifin L'Mayim, they would pour water on them. V'Nimtza Oich L'Mata, and what would happen was that the food would be on the bottom and psoilus would be lamala. Ask the Gemara for Tanya. The Brisa says, a different Brisa says that the psoilus went to the bottom and the food went to the top. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. It makes a difference, the afro, if it's earth, the ha begili, with straw. When it's earth, then the earth goes to the bottom. When it's straw, then it goes to the top. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Beis Hillel, that on Yontif you could do psoilus metoicha oichel, and however, if doing psoilus metoicha oichel is more of a tercha, we should do oichel metoicha psoilus. If they're both equal, says the Taz, I could be on Yontif according to Beis Hillel, I could do either one. The Meir Halacha says that while we makel and allowing Breira on Yontif is really, or Breira is not a Malacha according to Beis Hillel on Yontif, but Merid Rabbanon, the Halacha is we should only do it for the next meal. And furthermore, the Halacha is, says the Meir Halacha, that when you have 2 days Yontif, of course, one should not do Breira on 1 day Yontif for the next day Yontif. Says the Mishnah B'Shamay Oimrim, Ein M'Shalchem B'Yontif, one may not send on Yontif a gift to someone else, Elamonis, only food that's going to be eaten. Anything else, any other gift may not be sent on Yontif, because sending a gift on Yontif looks like Mekach HaMemkar. It looks like business. Others, we Rishonim explain, because if it's not food, people are going to say that's not L'Tzarech Yontif. And I'm doing the Malacha of taking something from one Rishos to another Rishos, Shaloi L'Tzarech Yontif. V'Sil Oimrim, V'Sil is more lenient, V'Shalchem B'Hem Echai V'Oif, Ben Chaim, Ben Shchutim, live or slaughtered, V'Shalchem Yayin Eshmanim, Saltus, or Kitnius, you can send wine, oil, flour, beans, L'Loi Tfuah. You may not send Tfuah, because as Rashi explains, you can't eat grain the way it is. It needs to be ground. And as we discussed earlier in the shiur, you should have really ground the wheat before Yontif. And that's why Beis Hillel says that you shouldn't send tefuah on Yontif. Even though we're being machmer and not allowing to send tefuah as a gift, even according to Beis Hillel, however, says the Meiri, that doesn't mean that tefuah is muksa. And if you're not sending the tefuah out, you're keeping it at home, but you want to use it for animal food, that would be permissible. Reb Shimon, matab tefuah. Reb Shimon says that you can even send tefuah, because Reb Shimon says that whenever we have a reason to be makel on yontif, we're going to be makel on yontif. And since we learned earlier in the shir that you may grind wheat under certain circumstances, if you're using a machteshes ktana, you're using a small grinder. So if, since there's a way of grinding wheat on yontif, you'll let us send it on yontif. Tanya Reb Chiel says, Reb Chiel, that even though Beis Hillel was lenient in the sending of food on yontif, but still, b'vachlo yisena b'shura. Don't make it into a assembly line. Because when you make it like an assembly line, there are many people involved, and it looks like you're doing mekach u'memkar on yontif. Tana, and the Brisa says, ain't shura p'chusim b'shlosh me'odam. Whenever we speak about a shura, it means three people. Bayer of Ashi. So Rav Ashi tries to understand, what does that mean? Does that mean t'losa gavri? You have three people, v't'losa mini. But the three people are holding three different types of food. Is that considered a shur or not? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. But we learned, Rav Shimon matter, Rav Shimon was lenient even with tefuah. Tanya, says the Gemara, we learned that the Brisa, Rav Shimon matter with tefuah. Rav Shimon was lenient with sending tefuah. He said we could send wheat because they used to make on yontif a type of a dish that's made out of wheat. Sayrim litin lefnei behemtoi. Barley was used for animal food, and adoshim and beans were used last men recesim. They used to make a type of food out of barley, and therefore, when you're sending these foods on yontif, it's clear that's being done for simchas yontif, for oichel nefesh. And of course, Beis Hillel has the more lenient approach that whenever that is your purpose, you could do so on yontif.